running a business is a tough and lonely journey. Welcome to the Executives on the Frontlines podcast, where business owners and C-suite executives like you will get real answers to your everyday business problems. I'm your host, Jeff Palacio, and together we will learn from senior leaders who have occupied every top box of a company's org chart for every size organization and who like to roll up their sleeves while checking their egos at the door. Welcome to the Executives on the Frontlines podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Palacio. Today's business challenge we're going to talk about is identifying and operationalizing your company's core values. Our guest today is ExecHQ Principal Elizabeth Souter. Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Jeff. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'd love your experience in this space and your background. But what challenges in your experience have you seen? Because most companies do have core values. I mean, probably the majority of companies. But what challenges do you see with companies that even have a list of four, five, six, hopefully not 15? But what challenges do you see in companies that actually have core values?
So the first problem is those that have more than 3 to 5, because you can't have, you got to be able to remember them, and they've got to be ever present in your organization. So that's the first one. The second one is, where did these core values generate from? Were they marketing? Are they aspirational? Are they things we hope we are, but when we really start to look at the way we treat one another and into our operations, they don't really exist right now? Are they accidental? Are they just sort of circumstantial? Our response to the marketplace? So the first thing I always do with a client is let's verify those core values that you think are present. And let's not just do that with leadership. Let's also make sure that the experience of employees is that they feel that they are living and breathing into these core values every day, and that they are present in an authentic way, because they're the true differentiators between your company and another. Just like they're the difference between you and I, we have different core values ourselves that guide our own behavior. So core values come through and are exemplified in the behavior of both leadership and employees. But the next question is, how are they showing up in your operations? And I call it sort of, it's the sweet and the sugar, right? You say, how do you operationalize a core value? Because it's soft, and then this other thing is very rudimentary, and it's tactical, right? So we begin to break apart a common process or a common component in an operation, and we say, are these core values being furthered, right? Are they being elevated? Are they present as we go about our this relationship? So take for instance a doctor's office, and they say, we offer superior service, we are the best in class, we value our patients. And then they hand you a 15-page intake form, and they bark at you because you haven't filled in all the information. And what about that relationship is saying, we're valuing the patient first? What about that experience of handing you a clipboard and you just arrived at the office, and maybe it's a pediatrician and you got 6 kids that you're having to corral? What about that experience is putting patient first? So as we think about the manner in which we operationalize those values, that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where that empowerment, right, that of the people that are responsible for that operation. As a leader, you empower your people to find ways in which those operations are aligned, and let's do more of that, and those in which they're not. And then again, empowering your people to come up with the solutions that bring it back into alignment and say, hey, there's a better way we could be doing this that is not only, you know, meets the P&L, but it distinguishes us from who from our competitor, or distinguishes our own identity.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we've chatted before about this topic. It's leaders, C-suite, they're usually looking at the financials or maybe leadership development or their market share. But what do you see as like common kind of gaps in core values, that are maybe platitudes, because there's posters, in the break room about, hey, our core values are this versus the actual living, breathing, daily, implementation and serving the customer with those core values.
So that has come up so often, both in my experience of being a practicing lawyer, but even more so as a consultant, where there are those gaps in revenue targets and performance evaluation, with problems with retention of employees. People often say, right, people don't quit their jobs, they quit their boss. They're quitting their boss because there's a misalignment there between how the boss is showing up and empowering their people and embracing those core values. Are they platitudes that come out in the boardroom? And then the minute that those people leave, they go back to, you know, beating on people for not adhering to the policy that's been in place for 97 years, and by God, that's the way we run things around here. Let's take a moment and say, is that policy, is even having that policy? Why have a policy if your policy is there to drive behavior? Behavior, again, is indicative of core values. The better your core values, the stronger that they are, the fewer policies you need, the fewer retention issues you have. Fewer retention issues you have, the more people want to come work for you because they hear about you being a great place to work, who that's an organization that is authentic to its core values. And as you and I have spoken, there are examples of companies that they have strong core values, and we as employee, we get to decide as candidates whether or not we want to be a part of that. And so I always encourage clients, be very clear in your job descriptions, in your recruiting, that those core values have to be front and center in any conversation, because people need the opportunity to opt out. You'd rather have them opt out if those core values and the behaviors that are expected because of them, they don't sync with them, and they're why set them up for failure, right, from the very beginning. So as I counsel clients on drafting those types of job descriptions and job postings, and then those tactical interview questions, make sure core values are front and center. Make sure that they're speaking to other people within the organization who are going to reinforce that, and not from a place of you planted the question, because it's already infused in the organization and they can feel it in the presence.
Retention of great people is so important. It's not only from a you're not going to have turnover. It's a huge cost savings. It's costs so much to onboard somebody. It's from them to get fully up to speed and fully functional, it takes months, depending, and yeah, and I love the starting at the hiring process, because it makes total sense, right? You want to keep, make sure people know the core values, but it's even in the people that don't get hired. So if you brought in five people, you obviously hire one. Having your core values and treatment of those four other people that didn't get the job actually goes maybe even a longer way in giving your company a better reputation, because guess what? They didn't get the job, but they were treated with dignity and respect and professionalism that makes them want to talk about the company they didn't get hired for. And that's going to, give,
Exactly.
yeah.
I often use the and then in a performance evaluation, celebrating the we use the are you moving in, up, or out, right? So let's celebrate those that are they're moving further in. They need more education. They want more from the organization. They're moving up. They are ready for that next level. Or are they moving out? They've surpassed their own capacity. Having those conversations, integrating those core values into it, and then all of a sudden they become an ambassador for their own replacement. They're saying, I love this job. I grew out of it. I'm ready to go do this other thing. But I am now going to help recruit that person who I know is going to fit into this organization perfectly because they are aligned. It removes so much friction, right? And at a customer level, it improves that relationship with the customer. I often work am working with clients and I say, we've got to uphold these core values when it comes to those who we're serving. We are not here for everybody. It's an abundant world. There is plenty of other companies that do what you do. Let them deal with the customer that's not aligned with your core values. Because guess what? You let them go, you make room for five others who are aligned and are going to be amazing customers, are going to be amazing referrals. So looking at that investment, looking at that relationship from the perspective of core values as part of your customer service cycle, then they become your own marketing. They become your own referral source, and they are going to bring you people like themselves who are going to be attracted to your business for its unique positioning, its unique identity as distinguished from others.
What's an example of kind of the worst alignment between a stated core value and the actual performance behavior opera
You know,
behavior?
the first that comes to mind was one I walked in, there were literally 15 core values painted on the walls. And I spoke with the wonderful person at the front desk who was greeting me, and I said, which one of these showed up for you yesterday? And she said, oh, good Lord, I can't even remember what one of them is. I said that right there is a problem. If you don't feel this in your, you've got them painted on the walls for a reason. People are supposed to be leaning into this and believing that this is the experience that they're going to have when they walk in the door. And Jeff, you've heard me talk about the hornet's nest, right? Part of the job of a consultant is walking in and saying, whoa, what is going on over there? And it was a hornet's nest of just toxic, something bad was going on. I didn't even really know what was going on. I could just tell it was a source of tension and stress. And I managed to eventually go over to these people and say, hey, I'm here. I'm all about operationalizing core values. Do you feel that core values are present in this workstation, in this conversation that's going on? And they all just looked at me and said, we've just got a job to do. Got a job to do. Right? So that differentiation, it just spoke volumes right there.
So what when you go into a new client, what's your first step to kind of do an assessment of where they're at in terms of alignment between core values and the behavior of the employees?
Well, ExecHQ has a great assessment that they offer to all incoming potential clients. I also have one that I use in my own consulting practice that gets to what are those core values? Do you even know? Can you recognize them? And then the next stage is to validate them, but both within the leadership team, it's very important. I work a lot with consultants and coaches. I'm a coach myself, but it's great to work alongside a leadership coach who is working with that leader on their own coaching on their own leadership journey, and then helping them understand the importance of infusing all that they're learning into their people and into their business so that they see it showing up on a day-to-day basis. They see it showing up on that balance sheet. We've got CFOs at Exec HQ who can, that they can tell me, I can see where the problem lies, but I'm not really empowered to fix it because it lies in the culture. It lies in the lack of alignment with core values. They say that they're this, but this is the way that their behavior is, right? And I'm not talking about things like integrity. Like every business needs to have integrity. I'm talking about what distinguishes you from the next company like yours down the block. Is joy something that you really pour into your people and you pour into every experience from the minute you answer the phone? Does that come through? We hear that. That's the great thing about companies like Exec HQ, where we're all on this fractional journey, but we love to collaborate with a client and help them address a multitude of problems. Because once you start pulling at one of those strings, be it operational, be it board management, be it that CFO or that marketing, it's great to talk to marketing about how they want to position a company externally, but that has to have resonance and authenticity within the business itself, so that that experience of the person that you've just marketed to and won to come into the business is having a consistent experience throughout their time with the company.
Elizabeth, what kinds of challenges do you want CEOs and boards to reach out to you to help solve the company's issues?
You know, so the primary ones I'm seeing today have a lot to do with recruitment. It's hard to get employees and they're settling for the wrong kind of employees sometimes. It's also retention, employee engagement, employee satisfaction. Those are always hot button issues, I think, for any CEO. And then there's actual revenue, right? We're not meeting our targets. We're not on track. And when you begin to kind of pull the thread back there, you're spending a lot of time in disputes, or you've got a lot of accounts receivable that are sitting out there for 90, 120 days. Are you attracting the right kind of customers and employees? It can be a panoply, but it typically has to do with either culture issues, COVID, getting back to work. What does that look like? But it also can be hardcore revenue. We're not achieving. What aren't we doing right? Let's approach it from a different angle. And behavior drives all of that. And behavior, again, is defined by the core values of your organization. So that's where I always want to start.
Yeah, no, that's great. And there'll be a link and a QR code on the video, as well as a link in the episode description where the audience, our listeners out there, are interested in learning more about you, as well as how you can help them. There'll be a link that they can click to schedule some time with you. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on Executives.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Executives on the Front Lines. If you are interested in learning more about today's guests, you can schedule a 15-minute call with them by scanning the QR code or using the link in the episode description. Please join me every 2 weeks to learn from another great leader sharing insight that can help you and your business.